Today on Time in the Word with Dr. Miguel Gonzalez.
The most important decision that we can possibly make is the decision to follow Jesus moment by moment. Can we honestly say with Paul that we want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ?
What does it mean to pursue Christ? What does making him Lord of all mean? How do we give him that place of preeminence he deserves in our hearts? Those questions will be answered throughout this series. Many of you remember the game called Simon Says. What does Simon Says have to do with following Christ? Even though that was a childhood game, the fundamental rule is quite applicable to our pursuing Christ. As Christians, we need to be engaged in a very real and serious lifelong activity called Jesus Says. That is, we need to be listening and following Christ. In The Principle of Following, Dr. Gonzalez covers three critical points. In part two, he covers the second critical point, that following Christ requires an ongoing choice. The decision to follow Christ is not one we make at some point in our lives and never make again. Paul does a wonderful job of pointing this out in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. In this passage, he speaks of his own experience.
If you've been with us the last couple of months, you know that we are working our way through a series of studies we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Last week, we started talking about the principle of following Christ. We've already talked about exaltation or exalting Christ, and we've already talked about loving Christ. So we will continue on the principle of following Christ. Now, I said last week that I was going to cover three major points and that there would be a number of sub-points to each of those points. Last week, we talked about the fact that following Christ required a personal decision. And we talked about several things that went into that one point. Today, we're going to look at the second point, which is following Christ requires an ongoing choice. And let's expand a little bit on that. The decision to follow Christ is not one we make at some point in the past and that's it. The decision to follow Christ is a decision we make over and over and over again. Now, Paul does a wonderful job at pointing out this out in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 7 and 8. In this passage, he speaks of his own experience. And of course, whatever is in Scripture is there for us to study and to gain principles from and to live by. The first thing I want to notice as we look at that passage is the fact that he first made a decision in the past. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at Philippians chapter 3. And we're first going to look at verses 5 and 6, where we find that Paul had made in the past a decision to follow Christ. Now, in verses 5 and 6, what we're going to see is his impressive resume before he became a Christian. Now, verses 5 and 6 say, actually, I'll start at the latter part of verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. The reason I want to make sure we understand who Paul was and what his credentials were before he became a Christian is because if we're going to understand that following Christ is an ongoing decision, we need to understand how Paul experienced this in his own life. Now, he has a very impressive resume. We already looked at that. He was obviously a person of stature in the community. He was a person of influence. We can't get away from this fact. Those things which Paul considered valuable, those things which were of utmost importance to Paul, are the same things we regard today in our own lives as valuable and of utmost importance. Who today doesn't put a great deal of stock on their education? Who today doesn't place a great deal of stock on their relationships or their networking? Who today doesn't place a great deal of stock on their financial security or their wealth? The things that Paul considered something are the very things that we today, even as Christians, consider something. So let's learn something about this. Then once we look at his resume, then comes verse 7, where he tells us about a decision he made regarding Christ when he was at the crossroad. And this is what verse 7 tells us. But whatever was to my profit, and everything he talked about in his in verses 5 and 6 regarding his credentials, his resume, were things that he considered profitable. But he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, the word consider in this verse is in the past tense. The decision to discard anything and everything that he regarded as something for the sake of pursuing Christ was a decision that he made in the past. We need to understand this because this was not a casual decision for Paul. And it should never be a casual decision for anybody who seeks to follow Christ. There is a cost associated with following Jesus. It's a decision that ought to be thought out. It's a decision that we must deliberate about because there is a cost. Now listen, I want to go to the Gospel of Luke and point something out. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 25. Listen to what Jesus said. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Listen to what he says in verse 25. And this is where Paul was before he met Jesus. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world? And as far as Paul was concerned, he had. And as far as many people today think, they have too. But listen to what Jesus said. What does it profit to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul or his very self? There is a cost associated with following Jesus. And that's why Jesus tells us and Paul tells us in the example of his own experience in his life is that we must not only make a decision in the past, but we're going to look at verse 8 where it tells us that it's also an ongoing decision that we make every single day. Listen to what he said in verse 8. What is more, I consider everything, everything. And when he says everything, he means everything. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And you know what he said? I consider them rubbish. Everything that made him what he was, he now considered rubbish. You know why? That I may gain Christ. What a profound statement. We would do well to spend a considerable amount of time just pondering on that statement made by Paul in verse 8. It is rich, and you could probably spend weeks or months just learning the truth behind the statement that Paul made, but it was a decision that he was making. Unlike verse 7, in verse 8, the word consider is in the present tense. So in verse 7, we find that the decision Paul made was in the past because the word consider there is in the past tense. In verse 8, we find that the decision Paul is making is in the present tense, considers in the present tense. So in essence, what Paul is saying is, listen, as an ongoing thing, I consider everything that I had rubbish. I consider anything that may come up now rubbish because nothing can possibly compare with knowing and gaining Christ. Not only did he consider everything that he thought was worth something rubbish, but he was insightful enough and in tune with God so that even whatever came up in the present, no matter what it was that the world was trying to bait him with, couldn't possibly compare with gaining and following Christ. Everything is rubbish. Think about it. What in the world can possibly compare to knowing in a personal way Jesus Christ and gaining him as your Lord and Savior and friend and Master and whatever else you want to add to that list? Nothing. Nothing can possibly compare to that. Paul not only made the decision in the past, and this is the point I'm trying to make, he also is continuing to make it in the present. He took everything he had, he took all of his accomplishments, and when he put it side by side with Jesus, they all paled to insignificance and considered it all rubbish. Let me ask you something. What is there in your life today that is keeping you from being able to, on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, from following Jesus the way you ought to? What is it that is in your life that apparently hasn't paled to insignificance when comparing it side by side to Jesus, if Jesus doesn't mean more to us than our careers, in our relationships, in our money, in our stature in society, then we are not following Christ, and whatever it is that it means to follow Him, we have no idea what it is. We have allowed something else to become a God with a small g in our life, and now we have become guilty of idolatry. We must, on a moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, make a conscious, consistent, continual choice to follow Jesus. And we must realize that whatever it is that the world dangles in front of us cannot in any way compare to knowing and gaining Christ. And I said this in the last message, and I'll say it again. We have never been given or will ever be given the right to define follow me. God defines it for us in Scripture, and we either do it or do not do it. In addition to that, it is a walk of faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to follow Jesus according to the biblical definition of follow me? If you do, then like Paul, you must daily make a deliberate decision to do so. It's an ongoing choice. What is life if it's not a series of decisions that we make every day for the rest of our lives? The most important decision that we can possibly make is the decision to follow Jesus moment by moment. Can we honestly say with Paul that we want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ? You remember the passage we looked back in Luke about counting the cost and about taking up our cross, and it used the word daily. Jesus is telling us that following Him is something that we must choose to do daily. Not only daily, but moment by moment within every day. We need to stop walking by sight and start walking by faith. And I'm not talking about a blind faith. When we talk about God and faith, we're not asking people to check their brains at the door and jump off a precipice and hope for the best. It is an evidence-filled hope. It is a hope on a God who has already proven to us that He's sovereign, that He's omniscient, that He's omnipresent and omnipotent. It is the very God who created everything that we see. That is the one God who we have to start walking with by faith. I'm regarded by many as a fool because I believe in the existence of God, and not only do I believe in the existence of God, but I believe He's the one who created all that is. And I believe He's the author of salvation, and I believe that what He says is true. And I'm called a fool by those who actually believe that everything that is came out of nothing by mere coincidence or chance. Yet I'm the fool. I don't agree with those folks because I don't have enough faith to believe that. They want me to believe that every living organism and every system required in the universe to maintain life in this planet came out of nothing and by chance. The God I'm being asked to follow on a daily basis is the God who has revealed Himself in Scripture and who has proven Himself to me, and my spirit has fellowshipped with His spirit, and there is certainty of who He is. Can we truly say along with David, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. Can we say along with Moses, show me Thy glory? That is what following Jesus is all about. We will only experience what it means to follow Jesus when wanting to do so becomes the all-consuming passion of our lives. You know what the real difference is between Abraham and Moses and Peter and Paul and you? Nothing other than the fact that grace has caused them to hunger for God. If you have experienced Jesus, if you have given your life to Him and you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, that's the beginning point. You have just but had a taste of what it is to have a personal relationship with Him. If you allow Him, He will transform your life like you can't even imagine. And it will become easier to be consumed with following Him, because the more you experience Him, the more you want to continue to experience Him. When does this journey end? As long as we're in this earth, it's an ongoing decision. It's an ongoing choice. Only when I'm in heaven will I stop having to choose to follow Jesus. But as long as I'm in this earth, I have no choice but to choose to follow Him every day, every moment of the day. Listen to what Paul said in verses 12 and 14 of Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. That's an important statement. Listen to it again. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know what Paul realized? We can all realize this, and God wants us to realize this. God got a hold of Paul for a specific reason. God didn't choose to save Paul and then to leave him on his own to work it out. God, according to Paul, took hold of him, and now Paul's goal was to find out what it was, or the reason behind God taking hold of him. There is absolutely nothing that compares to knowing and gaining Christ. You know why people, and we'll actually spend time looking at this in our next message, you know why people, you know what it is that people don't realize they're rejecting when they reject Jesus? People don't realize that they're turning their back on the God who made them. And they obviously don't realize the implications of that rejection. I believe that every single word in the Bible is inspired and inerrant. And I believe the Bible because it actually requires less faith for me to believe the Bible than what it requires for me to believe everything else everybody else is propagating out there, such as evolution and so on. In many cases, people don't realize what it is that they're rejecting when they reject Jesus. Christians don't realize what it is that they're forfeiting when they don't choose to actively follow Jesus. Your life, your day can be full of Jesus, but you need to make that choice to follow Him. Would you rather face a day without Him? Or would you rather live a day with Him and filled by Him? It's your choice, an ongoing decision.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Time in the Word. As God ministers to you through this series of studies, and as you experience God's love and grace in your own life, share these podcasts with others so that they too may be blessed by God's Word and His amazing grace. Time in the Word with Bible teacher Dr. Miguel Gonzalez is a ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, a ministry committed to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear exposition of God's Word. For additional resources, or if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast and would like to support the ongoing efforts of this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.rffiministries.org.